You heard how it went down. Now, time to sum it all up. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. Recap everything you need to know about this game right now. Now, here's your host, your analyst, and your MC for the evening.
Make some noise!
Justin Garcia.
Yeah!
Well, not a whole lot good to say about this one. The Miami Heat now lead this best of seven series 2-1. It is not officially panic time yet. A lot of that will hinge on the health of Giannis, but not a whole lot to like from what you've seen 3 games into this series, as the Miami Heat, by and large, have been the better team for these 3 games. And if you're Miami, I'm sure you would point to, hey, if the Bucks don't knock down an NBA playoff record 25 threes, are we up 3-0? That is what it's come to in this best of seven series. Now, let's remember, this is a 1-8. And I think that's where a lot of the confidence lies. When you'll hear myself, I'm sure you'll hear some others, although that number is probably diminished in the last 24 hours, say, I still expect the Bucks to win this series. But this is not the start to the postseason you would have hoped for. This is not inspiring a whole lot of optimism when this is a very, very bad offensive team in the Miami Heat. The lowest rated offense to reach the playoffs. They were the worst 3-point shooting team in the league. One of the worst offenses in all of the NBA all season long. And the Miami Heat have hit 47 threes through 3 games in this series. They have shot 50% or better in each of the 3 games played this series, and they have shot 44% or better from 3 in each of the 3 games played. Going into the playoffs, we had mentioned, look, we've seen 2 very different looks to this Bucks defense. They're very good for most of the season. One of the top-rated defenses in the league. Early in the season, a lot of the focus was on what the Bucks were doing on the perimeter and what they were taking away in terms of those 3-point shots and those looks on the perimeter. But as the season moved towards completion, the last month or so, that Bucks defense started to slip. And we started to see a lot more threes from the opponents. And that has certainly transferred into this opening round series. So there is a lot to clean up. It is not as simple as let's get Giannis back on the floor. If Giannis returns, the Bucks should win this. That does change a lot. And you've seen a lot of people say, hey, holy cow, we're doing it now. Holy cow, this Miami Heat offense, where was this all season? Man, they've been so efficient and found a lot of success against the Bucks. Well, Giannis is a big part of that because Jimmy Butler has been cooking all series and going downhill. And we've seen with Giannis going down midway through, not even midway through game one, Wesley Matthews not playing in game two, not playing tonight in game three, the Bucks don't have a whole lot of good options to defend Jimmy Butler. It's basically Drew Holiday, who has been doing a very good job despite Jimmy Butler's stat lines. But it's those minutes where Jimmy Butler isn't on the floor. And there's a couple of more sequences tonight where it was tasked on Chris Middleton of, hey, you got to defend Jimmy. And you looked at some of the groupings of Joe Ingles or Chris Middleton, Pat Connaughton. There wasn't a viable option to defend Jimmy Butler. And that's unfortunately the spot the Bucks are going to be in. You can't play Drew Holiday 48 minutes. You don't have Wesley Matthews out there. You don't have Giannis available. And let's be honest, Jay Crowder has not been what you expected and hoped he would be in a postseason run. 855-616-1620 is the old National Bank talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. I'm going to keep it very short and sweet here. On a scale of 1 to 10, your level of concern 3 games into this series is now what? 855-616-1620 is the number to join us. You can text in what that number is or give us a call, and we can hash it out here as the Bucks now have a lot of work to do, needing to win 3 of 4 against the 8-seed Miami Heat. And one other thing to get out of the way here. This is not to diminish what Miami has done, because as we mentioned at the top, Miami Heat have been the better team by a wide margin in this series. You heard some people say, man, Miami, I hope it's not Miami. I was certainly one of those. I was certainly optimistic the Miami Heat would win that first game against the Atlanta Hawks, and they would be the seventh seed. Any of those other three teams, even if you don't have Giannis, the Hawks, the Raptors, the Bulls, even if you don't have Giannis, let's be honest, you're going to win that series in five games at the most. You might sweep. This team is different. They have a very, very good coach. They have playoff Jimmy Butler. They are a smart team. They have a lot of experienced guys. Bam Adebayo may not be an old player. He has a lot of playoff experience. Even Duncan Robinson has a lot of playoff experience. Kyle Lowry does. Kevin Love certainly does. This Miami Heat team is an eight seed in title only. This is not an eight seed. I think this is more realistically a six seed. If you were to swap the Brooklyn Nets and the Miami Heat, I think that's a closer, tells a more accurate story. But you still, six seed, eight seed, seven seed, whatever it is, you're the one seed in the playoffs. You got there because of your depth. And I know regular season depth versus postseason depth, very, very different. You can't drop two of the first three games, even if your best player and best player in the world is unavailable for 2.5 of those three games. 855-616-1620 is the Old National Bank talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. 2-1, the Miami Heat lead this best of seven series. Your level of concern is what? On a scale of 1 to 10, what is that number? Let's go to the phone lines and talk with Ricky in Honey Creek. You lead things off. Ricky, before you get into your points, on a scale of 1 to 10, your level of concern for this series is what?
A 9.
A 9. So yes. Full-blown panic.
Yes, as of right now it is, yes.
Okay.
All right. I just wanted to say, game two without Giannis, the Bucks offense really woke up. I mean, they said, like, they needed to make shots, and that's what they did in that game. Able to tie the series up, and then before game three, Giannis is listed as questionable. It's maybe some people like me had a doubt that he'll even play. Turns out Giannis doesn't play. The Heat get the advantage of playing at home, and they just romped on over the Bucks today. I mean, the Bucks had a very small lead in the first quarter, and then once the Heat took that lead, they never gave it back. The Bucks were able to cut the lead into single digits a few times, but they were never able to pull within even 5. So this is very disappointing. And I just don't think if the Bucks can't shoot threes like they did in game two, and if they don't get Giannis back, I think this series is over. There's still some more games left, but the Bucks will need to have Giannis back, or they just need to have start shooting threes like they did in game two to be able to come back and win this series.
Well, I'll say this, too, Ricky. The difference between this, and it's just three games, but this and again, I'm not saying the Bucks are going to lose this series. The difference between these three games and what we've seen in previous series where the Bucks have fallen short is the three-point shooting has been fine. I mean, it was more than fine in game two, which you alluded to, with 25 threes, which matched the NBA playoff record. But you know, tonight, 15 of 39, comparatively speaking, what we've seen from the Bucks in the postseason in the past, I mean, that is incredible. Now, game one, not great, but I would point to the volume of threes when you compare the two sides in game one. Sure, Miami, hit at a high percentage. But you know, the Bucks still hit 11 threes to 15 for Miami. So they were just plus 12 in those points. This wasn't a case of Miami hitting 22 threes and the Bucks hitting 7. You still hit 11. Now, you hit 45, or you took 45, which is not the volume you're shooting for, not the percentage you're shooting for, I should say, but three-point shooting has been fine. I mean, you were bad in game one. You still hit double figures. You were better than okay tonight. You shot 39% from three, and you hit 25 in game two. So this isn't a case of your three-point shooting failing you. Now, there are other areas of the offense that are certainly worth picking apart here, but this all comes down to the defense. I cannot stress enough, this is not a good Miami Heat offense. This borders on a bad Miami Heat offense. They're the lowest rated offense in the playoffs, coming into the playoffs, I should say. They're certainly not the lowest rated offense we've seen in the playoffs. They are one of the worst offenses in the league. They were the worst three-point shooting team in the league, and you wouldn't know it by watching these first three games. Giannis being out for 2.5 of these games, that certainly plays a factor in it. It doesn't tell the whole story. There's more going on there, and it starts with defense. If the Bucks are going to win this series, and I still expect them to, you got to see a much, much different defense. 855-616-1620 is the old National Bank talk and text line to join us on Bucks Talk. Scale of 1 to 10, your level of concern is what? Jerry in Burlington, you're up next. Hey, Jerry, go ahead.
Oh, hey, thanks for taking the call. Hey, I would say I don't think I can go as far up as a 9 yet. I mean, I know we got an uphill battle here, but I would say I'm at a 7 right now. I think it's going to be very much contingent on what Giannis does next game. I know having Giannis on our team, and you know, nothing's unattainable. I know 3 out of 4 is, you know, an uphill battle, but when you got the best in the world and the way we were playing all season, I mean, I think it's achievable. Obviously, it's uphill, but I don't think it's panic time yet. I think I agree with your comments around defense. I mean, letting Miami put up 121 this time around compared to last time. I mean, again, it's about teamwork and playing Bucks basketball that we played all season. I mean, one man doesn't make the team, but I think having him back in the lineup motivates everyone else to play better. Hopefully that's, you know, translates a little bit better defense, but I think, you know, next game is going to be really the big linchpin that we're going to be waiting on.
So a 7 out of 10?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, I'm somewhere around there. Thanks for the call, Jerry. 855-616-1620. The old National Bank talk and text line is the Miami Heat dominate the Bucks tonight from start to finish. And this was really 40 minutes of domination, 44 minutes of domination for the Miami Heat, because Bucks led by 6 with 4.5 minutes left in that opening quarter. You felt pretty good about what you were seeing. And then a disastrous close to the opening quarter where the Bucks were scoreless for the final, I think, 440, 438, somewhere around there. You were up by 6 and ended up carrying over into the second quarter, where the Heat scored the final 14 points of the first quarter, the first 5 points of the second quarter, a 19-0 run. And the Bucks never recovered from there. I don't believe it got to single digits more than once from that point forward, and this was all about the way the Heat closed things out. The way they closed the opening quarter to storm back and take the lead, and look, the Bucks were up by as many as 10 early in that opening quarter. Then Miami closed it out strong. Once they got that lead up to double figures late in the second quarter, or midway through the second quarter, there was one stretch where the Bucks kept getting it down to 8. You started to feel really good there, where you got the margin down to 8 late in the first half. But then before you knew it, Miami went on another run. It was an 8-point game. You get a Bam Adebayo layup. You get a late three-pointer, and it's up to 13 at halftime. You got it to 10. You never got it any lower, and that was the same story in the second half as Miami, from that 4:38 mark in the opening quarter, just simply dominated this game, and it's the Miami Heat taking a 2-1 advantage in this best-of-7 series with this 121-99 victory. We got one more hour left on this show and a lot more time to hear from you. As the Bucks fall by 22, they now fall behind 2-1 in this best-of-7 series. On a scale of 1 to 10, your level of concern is what? With the top-seeded Bucks trailing 2-1, and we still don't know the status of Giannis, not only for Game 4, but for the remainder of this series. We'll get to more of your thoughts, what your number is on that scale of 1 to 10. Also, Miami Heat seemingly piling up some injuries late in this game as well. So we'll take a look at the very latest for a couple of other names that were added to that list after this on Bucks Talk. .121-99, the final in Miami. It is the 8th-seeded Heat taking a 2-1 advantage over the Bucks as they dominate virtually from start to finish in this one tonight. A Bucks lead in the early going. But again, from that 4:38 mark in the first quarter, the Heat would go on a run, scoring the final 14 points of the quarter. And the first 5 points of the second quarter, a 19-0 run, swinging this game big time for Miami, who would take that 13-point lead early in the second quarter and never look back, as this game was basically a double-digit lead for the Miami Heat for what felt like an eternity. The last time this game was at single digits was in the final minute of the first quarter. Where you got it to 9, you started to feel okay. You got it to 9 and thought, okay, you get one more stop, make this a 7-point game or even a 2-possession game going into halftime, and you'd feel great. You got that stop. Jay Crowder missed a shot that would have made it a 7-point game, and Caleb Martin hits a 3-pointer on the other end. Where now all of a sudden it went from 9 to 12. Kevin Love would hit a late three as well after a Pat Connaughton basket, and it's a 13-point Heat game, Heat lead going into halftime. So the last time you got that down to single digits was in the final minutes of the first half. And you know, as we mentioned, Miami pushed it back to double figures at the 8-minute mark of the second quarter, where it was just one spurt that the Bucks had to knock it down to 8. This was basically a 10-plus point lead from the 8:18 mark of the second quarter through the end of the game. 855-616-1620, the old National Bank talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. And the question is simple here. On a scale of 1 to 10, your level of concern is what number now that you trail the Miami Heat 2-1 in this best-of-7 series? CJ, you're up next.
Hey, Justin, I think the Bucks have just been playing with their food a little too much here. Not a lot of energy, effort, or execution. Just letting the Heat kind of take the reins here. But I think Giannis is going to come back with some thunder. I think we're going to see some lightning from some of the shooting here. And just things like boxing out and not playing hero ball, as we saw Drew do when they were stuck at like 21 points for what seemed like, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes. I think the Bucks are going to come back with a fury here. They always play terribly on their first night in Miami, and they're going to get pissed off, and they're going to come back and I think hit the Heat.
So I would assume you're less than a 5 or around a 5.
I'm a 5. I'm a 5. I'm right in the middle. You know, It is concerning. Miami's playing better than they played probably all year, right? Against the Bucks here. But in all honesty, I think the Bucks are going to come back and. and they're going to play pissed off, which is where they need to be. That's when they're their best.
Well, and I guess I understood all the trepidation over Miami in that matchup, but let's also be honest here, and this is not taking anything away from what Miami has done. They've been the better team through these three games. This is not an 8 seed. You know, this is a team that it's probably closer, and look, you're still the higher seed, but they're probably closer to a 6 seed. You know, what you saw from Brooklyn, right. The Brooklyn Nets were really a team that they were fortunate to not slip into the play-in tournament, because that's like what seems like an 8 seed. The other three teams that were in the play-in tournament, the Hawks, the Raptors, the Bulls, those are 8 seeds where you can really see the flaws. And Miami does have flaws. The offense is flaws. They have areas where you can attack defensively. The Bucks have just not done that because Miami has done a good job of pressuring the Bucks and making shots where the Bucks are taking the ball out of the net and not going off of rebounds. But this Heat team, they don't feel like an 8 seed. It's still, you know, this isn't a 1-2. You should still win this series, and you should still be up on the Miami Heat regardless of what their seed line is. That's the frustrating part here. There have been some moments, to CJ's point of it, it feels like the Bucks are playing with their food a little bit. Look, that's been typical of this Bucks team for the last couple of years. I don't know how much of it we've seen here. I mean, there have been moments where there has certainly been some of that. But tonight was very troubling because those players knew Giannis wasn't playing. You know, not to give too much away here, but as you can probably gather, you know, the Bucks assistant coaches, the Bucks coaching staff, the players, Giannis' teammates, they're not on pins and needles waiting for Bud to talk at 5 o'clock today. They're not waiting for Bud to hear, okay, is he going to play? Let's gather around and hear what Bud says. You already know. So this wasn't a man. I saw a couple of takes of, well, it seemed like the Bucks were shell-shocked and caught flat-footed. They expected Giannis to play, and he wasn't out there. I don't think that's the case. You game plan knowing Giannis. You knew in game 2 Giannis wasn't playing, and he was upgraded from doubtful to questionable. I'm sure part of that was gamesmanship, but you knew he wasn't playing. I mean, the fact that he did not play today either, you knew he wasn't playing. I saw a couple of takes as well of, man, this is really arrogant by the Bucks to say, hey, we can win without Giannis. Let's sit him and let's get greedy here and try to take a 2-1 advantage without him. That wasn't the case either. Look, it's the playoffs. You don't mess around in the playoffs. If you can't play in the postseason, it is a legitimate injury. So I don't think this is the Bucks playing with their food. I don't think this is arrogance and cockiness and saying, hey, we can win without Giannis. It's a legitimate injury. But even without Giannis, you are a better team than the Miami Heat. It may not look like it through these three games. I expect it to turn around, and it needs to start on Monday because it goes without saying. 3 games to 1 hole would be an absolute disaster. Even returning home to put yourself in a spot where who knows when or if Giannis will return in this series, you cannot hit that spot where your back is firmly up against the wall and you need to win 3 consecutive games. 855-616-1620, the old National Bank talk and text line. Let's go to Dave in Greenfield. You're up next.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, how you doing? I'm at 8. I'm really concerned right now. I feel if Giannis is 50 to 75%, they've got to play him on Monday. If they play him Monday and they pull it off, and if he can't play the rest of the series, so be it. Because this is the game they have to win. I feel if they do win it, then they're back at home court advantage again, and I think they can take 2 out of 3 at home with who they have if Giannis cannot continue. But, you know, unfortunately, I don't know how bad the injury is, but this is... He's got to get in there.
Well, and thanks for the call, Dave. It's bad enough that, I mean, again, this isn't the Bucks being cute. You don't do that in the postseason. So the injury is bad enough that he's not playing in playoff games. So we have heard a 9, an 8, a 7. I think we had a couple fives. It just to do the quick math here, it seems like the average number for the audience's level of concern over what we've seen three games in is about a 7. A very elevated level of concern, and rightfully so when you're down 2-1 against the 8 seed in this best of 7 series. It may be famous last words. I still expect the Bucks to win this series. And there's a couple of reasons other than just optimism and blind faith that I do want to get into in just a moment here. But that's not to say, look, well, the Bucks have just been unfortunate. No, the Bucks are fortunate. This isn't 3-0 right now. That is how they've played through the course of this series. 855-616-1620 is the old National Bank talk and text line. On a scale of 1 to 10, your level of concern 3 games into this series is what? More of your thoughts after this on Bucks Talk.
Look, I be riding through my old hood, but I'm in my new whip. Same old attitude, but I'm on that new stuff. They say they gon' ride.
121-99, the final score here. The Miami Heat dominate the Bucks to take a 2-1 advantage in this best of 7 series. And that is the fear of this Miami Heat team. The Bucks, look, 2021, caution isn't the right word, but we tried to get this point across in real time as it was happening. I specifically did. Don't take any of this for granted. That was clearly a special group. It was a special run. They had the added motivation, the way things ended in the bubble. You heard chatter for 2+ off seasons of Bud's postseason track record. What's going to be the status of the coach for the Bucks going forward? What if they lose in the playoffs again and don't reach the conference finals or the NBA finals? Can Giannis win in the postseason? Was starting to heat up. Where do you go with this team? All of that compounding. A group that was frankly fed up. A group that was not happy with how their season ended in the bubble. PJ Tucker, a player motivated for those same reasons, who much like the Bucks kept getting to the edge but just couldn't cross over the line. It was a perfect storm for the Bucks that year. That was a very, very special group in a very, very special year. And they ran through the Miami Heat like a buzzsaw. It was a nail-biter in game one. You blew them out in the next 3 games. And there was a lot of frustration taken out on Miami for a number of reasons. Other than that, I think the concern, the elevated level of concern, was that other than that one year, this team has not had a whole lot of success against Miami in the postseason. The Bucks in six, the birth of Bucks in six, when the Heat swept the Bucks, Brandon Jennings' group, J.J. Redick's swan song in Milwaukee. Monte Ellis was on that group. The bubble year, where again, things weren't trending well for the Bucks, and that was a Heat team that was constructed pretty well. We've seen Jimmy Butler takes things to another level in the playoffs. I think the two biggest reasons why Miami was the team here, Miami. It's not just the history of the Bucks and the Heat in the playoffs. Playoff Jimmy Butler. And it may be easy to forget that because for whatever reason, the Bucks have been the one team to slow Jimmy Butler down once in the playoffs. What, 58 points, I think it was, he scored in that series 2 years ago? Bryn Forbes outscored him. Jimmy Butler has blown past the amount of points that he scored in that 4-game series already here. 30 points tonight, 30-plus points in game one. Jimmy Butler's been very, very good. And it's easy to forget, Jimmy Butler, playoff Jimmy, is a real thing. Reason number two is Eric Spoelstra. He is one of the best coaches in the league. He finds advantages and mismatches and exploits them. Again, these are the things you pointed to and said, this shouldn't be a 1-versus-8 matchup. You know, this doesn't feel fair to have a competent team, an experienced team, a team with a go-to guy, and one of the better coaches in the league. That's not typically what you find in a 1-versus-8 matchup. So that was the reasons for the elevated levels of concern coming into this series. But I still do believe most Bucks fans thought, look, it's still going to be a 5-game series. You lose game one. Well, the Bucks, you know, were never good after a lengthy layoff. Joe Ingles said as much to Dave Kane and myself after game two. You win game two and it's all right, all is right. But after tonight, you know, I'm not one to freak out and to rush to judgment and to just jump to heightened levels of concern. But what you've seen in these three games is concerning. You are still the better team than the Miami Heat. You are still the more talented team than the Miami Heat. You should win this series. And if you win on Monday, it's a best of three, where two of those three will be played in Milwaukee. So that's the big edge for you. Now, ignore the fact that if you win on Monday, you still got to win two other games, two out of three. So that would be three out of four that you have to win. That is the spot you put yourself in. But this team is very capable of winning the next three games. But what does that mean for the rest of this postseason run going forward? You certainly can't feel great. Now, you can make the case, look, second round. At this point, you have to add this caveat. Assuming you get past Miami, it's going to be the Knicks or the Cavaliers. And right now, the Knicks are up 2-1 on the Cavs. It's a pretty favorable matchup for the Bucks. But this is a big if, and we've cautioned all season long. Don't look ahead. Well, let's just do that. Let's look ahead. And let's say you win three out of four. You even win three in a row. You get past the Miami Heat. You get, let's say, the Knicks. You get past the Knicks. And then you're on to the conference finals. The way the Bucks have played through these three games, especially on the defensive side, does not leave you confident in an Eastern Conference finals against either the Boston Celtics or the Philadelphia 76ers, who are the first team to advance to the second round. You talk about bizarro world. The Bucks are the one seed, and they're down 2-1 to the 8 seed, and it's the Philadelphia 76ers advancing via a sweep. Oh, and Giannis is out. Giannis has been plagued with health issues in the playoffs. I mean, that is the absolute bizarro world, that it's Giannis dealing with injuries in the playoffs and the Bucks struggling in the first round. And Joel Embiid and the 76ers sweeping their way to the second round. It's not over. But there is reason for concern right now. And that's why we kicked off the show asking, on a scale of 1 to 10, what is your level of concern down 2-1? 855-616-1620, the old National Bank talk and text line. I mentioned Giannis. We don't know the status of Giannis. I'm not even going to get into, do you think Giannis plays? Who knows? I don't know how bad the back is. And again, the back is bad enough that he has missed two playoff games. He's missed 2.5 playoff games. I cannot stress this enough. This is not a matter of the Bucks being cute and saying, hey, we can beat the Heat without Giannis. You don't sit in the playoffs unless things are well within reach and well wrapped up, or it's a serious injury. So I don't think it's the Bucks saying, hey, we can win without Giannis. Let's just rest him. He's 80%. It's a serious injury if he's not playing here for 2.5 games. Miami, though, Bucks aren't the only ones dealing with an injury. It's injuries, plural, for the Miami Heat. Now, I do want to revisit one conversation that we had after Wednesday's show. After Sunday's show, for that matter, as well, when we talk about injuries for the Miami Heat, because I'm going to stick to my guns here and say, you know, what we've seen through the first three games has not dissuaded me at all. But there were more injuries in this game tonight for the Miami Heat, and I said I don't want to get into speculation with Giannis. I don't like speculating on injuries and severity of injuries, but you can't help but do so with one that we saw in this game tonight. And what does that mean for the remainder of this series? We'll get into it after this on Bucks Talk. -121 to -99, the final in Miami. The Heat dominate the Bucks and take a 2-1 edge in this best of 7 series. Jimmy Butler did not play at all in the fourth quarter tonight, but scored 30 points in 28 minutes. So if we go back to that series 2 years ago, all of the chatter was Bryn Forbes outscoring Jimmy Butler. I think it was 64, 61, something like that, that Bryn Forbes scored in that first-round series. Jimmy Butler scored 58 points in 4 games. 58 points, shot 29% in those 4 games, shot 26% on threes. And a big reason why was Giannis was the one defending Jimmy Butler. It was a Heat team where you could make that matchup because their starters, Bam Adebayo, Duncan Robinson, Kendrick Nunn, Trevor Ariza, and Jimmy Butler. So you could put Drew Holiday on whoever you wanted in the backcourt. Brooke Lopez was obviously taking Bam Adebayo. P.J. Tucker was the ultimate helper, and Giannis was out there taking Jimmy Butler. There wasn't quite as much frightening offense for the Miami Heat. And again, I would point to this team. We've talked about all the struggles the Miami Heat have had offensively. Not a good offense. One of the worst in the league this season. The worst three-point shooting team in the league this season. I would still take this year's iteration over that Miami Heat team, and that was a 6th seed. Now, you had Goran Dragic, Tyler Hero coming off the bench. It wasn't a good Miami Heat team. And that was another big reason why the Bucks swept them. I mean, another thing we talked about going into that series was, look, remove the names. Take the resume for both these teams. Wipe away the name. If I said to you, which of these two teams would you take? Which is the better team? Everybody would point to the team that is the Bucks and say, well, that's the team. They should win in 4 games. They should win 5 at the most. And that's what we saw, a 4-game sweep. It's the same thing with these two teams. You do the blind resume, you would point to the Bucks. Yeah, it's a better offense. Yeah, that defense has played better. They have the best player. All these reasons to say, hey, the Bucks, they're the team that should win it. And we haven't seen that for the first 2 games, 3 games. But Jimmy Butler scored 58 points in those 4 games. Jimmy Butler had 60 points through the first 2 games of this series, and he's now up to 90 points in 3 games. He is averaging 30 points a game in this series, and he's basically been unstoppable. No Wesley Matthews, no Giannis to throw out there on him. It extends beyond just getting Giannis on the floor. We talked about this earlier in the show. That changes a lot. It's not the ultimate panacea. It is not the number one reason why things have started to go south for the Bucks in this series. It's going to change a lot, but it's going to take more than getting Giannis back on the floor to swing this series. Wesley Matthews, we haven't mentioned a whole lot. His health is seemingly going to be paramount for this team. He is one of those guys that you trust. We know Bud trusts him. You think back to late in the regular season. Think back to the game against the Bulls where the Bucks won and locked up the 1 seed in the playoffs. Wesley Matthews came up with some big moments in that game. Wesley Matthews going down was another moment that really started to swing this. And that was one of those, wait, what? We knew about Giannis going into game two. But then all of a sudden you saw Wesley Matthews on the injury report listed as out. And we were told by Bud it happened late in the game. It wasn't a practice injury or anything like that. It occurred late in the game. Now Wesley Matthews out for the last two games. So I mentioned you had a couple of those sequences where you got Chris on the floor having to defend Jimmy Butler. Chris Middleton, the shot, getting to his spot, all of that in this series, you can't complain. You cannot argue with what you've seen from Chris. 16 points in game two was the downswing for Chris. Yeah, tonight, scored 23 when your team scored 99. 8 of 14 shooting as well. He was efficient. Turnovers were the issue for Chris Middleton. Hasn't quite looked like the same guy defensively either. That's been the issue as well. But 33 points in game one. Chris Middleton has been consistent and reliable at scoring the basketball in this series. Defense, he's not the guy to put on Jimmy Butler. And when you go through some of those sequences where your groupings on the floor, Bobby Portis and Joe Ingles and Chris Middleton and Jay Crowder, which I want to get to in a moment, Javon Carter, you don't have a viable defender for Jimmy Butler. And that's what the injury to Wesley Matthews has done to, at this point, with your defense struggling, almost loom as large as the injury to Giannis. Now, the Jay Crowder thing is one of the more confounding aspects of this series. You gave up 5 second-round draft picks. Obviously, the matching salary. And look, I'm not suggesting there is an outpouring of, yeah, but what about these guys? What could they have done? But look, it's the 5 second-round picks that you gave up. George Hill, Jordan Wara, Serge Ibaka, they're not doing anything in this series. They're not playing in this series. Serge Ibaka isn't. I have a hard time seeing George Hill in this series. Jordan Wara is not playing in this series. It's those 5 second-round picks you gave up. And on the one hand, you may scoff at it and say, well, it's second-round picks. What is the value of a second-rounder? We talked about this at the trade deadline. The value is this. Second-round picks have become pretty valuable currency. Think about how many deals in the last couple of years the Bucks have swung on the back of a second-round pick. You know, P.J. Tucker. You gave up a pair of DJs and 4 second-round picks for P.J. Tucker. Nico Mirotic. That was another one. You gave up 4 second-round picks to bring in Nikola Mirotic. Now Jay Crowder, 5 second-rounders, and that's you, Jay Crowder. You still got to accumulate those second-round picks. And the Bucks don't have a whole lot of other currency. You think about how much they mortgaged to bring in Jrue Holiday. And you don't get a championship without Jrue Holiday, but you cannot trade first-round picks until, I believe, 2029. You still got a pair of pick swaps that you owe the New Orleans Pelicans. You still owe them 2 second-round draft picks. You can't trade anything in the first. And it doesn't go into effect in this offseason, but the new collective bargaining agreement is another thing that does not bode well for teams like the Bucks, who are heavily into the luxury tax. It takes away from what you can do in terms of buyout market. That's off the table. And just how far out you can move those picks. We said, hey, you can't move anything until 2029. Well, not so fast when this new collective bargaining agreement goes into place. It's going to say, hey, teams that are already bent over the barrel, you can't keep kicking the can down the road. It's a credit card where you've been spending for the last 28 days. Well, guess what? The billing cycle just ended, and now that bill is due, is what they're saying with the future of first-round draft picks. So those second-round picks mean something. And that's one of the things, one of the very few things that the Bucks were going to have at their disposal to shape this roster. You gave up 5 of them for Jay Crowder. And if we're being kind, this trade has not worked out as planned. I know everybody made the comparison to P.J. Tucker. Because, like, hey, they both played for the Miami Heat. They both play a similar position, although as we've seen, you know, P.J.'s certainly more versatile defensively at this point. Jay Crowder, we thought, gave you a little more offensively. But, you know, game one, Jay Crowder played 12 minutes. Tonight, Jay Crowder played 14 minutes. And if you look at the breakdown of where those minutes occurred for Jay Crowder, 6 minutes in the fourth quarter when this game was well out of reach, didn't play at all in the third quarter when the Bucks were basically making their last stand and saying, hey, it's got to happen now. Played just 2.5 minutes in the second quarter. Played 4 minutes in the first quarter. We have seen a lack of trust for Jay Crowder in some of those big moments. And a guy that we had very, very high expectations for and thought maybe, if not missing piece, close to the missing piece. Hey, this guy's going to lock some things together defensively. He's going to let you play some different lineups. Hasn't been the case for Jay Crowder, and that is one of the more disappointing aspects of these first three games, is you expected more from Jay Crowder. When we talk about the defensive issues, you thought Jay Crowder was going to be that guy that tied it together. When we previewed the series, who can defend Jimmy Butler? Well, you would assume Giannis goes on him. Game one starts, that wasn't the case. It was Drew Holiday. The way game one ended, you thought, well, if Giannis is healthy, I would assume Giannis is going to be back out there on him for game two. Then we saw Giannis isn't playing in game two. Then we learned, oh, wait, Wesley Matthews isn't playing in game two either. Wesley Matthews had some nice plays on Jimmy Butler late in game one. But we thought going in, well, you got Giannis, you got Wes, you got Drew you can throw out there if you want. You got Jay Crowder. And the reality is, you know, Drew has done a good job. It hasn't mattered. Jimmy Butler has still gotten to where he wants to go and hit some tough shots over Drew Holiday. The reality may be you got one guy you can throw out there on Jimmy Butler and expect to get some stops, and that guy has played 8 minutes in this series. 855-616-1620, the old National Bank talk and text line. Your level of concern on a scale of 1 to 10 is what, as the Bucks now trail the Miami Heat 2-1 in this best of seven series. Now, we do have to examine what's going on with Miami as well, because, you know, I said I don't want to speculate on injuries. I didn't want to speculate on will we see Giannis. Who knows? I will say this. I have a hard time believing we're going to see Victor Oladipo in game four. And given the way that injury looked, the way he was helped off the floor, boy, it certainly seems like you're not going to see Victor Oladipo for the remainder of this series. Immediately grabbed the left knee. That left knee just basically, it looked like went out because he landed very, very awkwardly, and that left knee was the plant leg. Victor Oladipo tonight played 19 minutes, was 4 of 6 from the field, scored 8 points. He's not the number 2 overall pick in the Victor Oladipo of old. But he did seem to give the Miami Heat a little bit of juice for that second unit. In game 2, Victor Oladipo played even more. 26 minutes. He hit 6 of his 13 shots and scored 15 points. So it did seem as though, after battling injuries all season, I think he played 8 games last year, maybe even fewer than that, he's battled injuries for the last couple of years in that knee. Didn't play at all in game 1, and it seemed like Victor Oladipo was gradually making his way back into an impact rotation player. I would assume Victor Oladipo is probably done for this series. So you're taking Victor Oladipo and Tyler Hero off the table for the Miami Heat. Now, Jimmy Butler, as we cleared up on the postgame, we thought it was a back injury. Ira Winderman of the Sun Sentinel in Miami had said, the Heat clarified it wasn't a back injury. It was a glute, a lower glute injury for Jimmy Butler. So if it's not a back injury and it's just, hey, he landed awkwardly on his butt, I would expect Jimmy Butler's playing in game four. The message was he would have played in game three. He would have returned in game three if the Heat needed him. It was already out of reach. But if you take away Victor Oladipo, and we've already taken away Tyler Hero, and by the way, there was a lot of chatter of, hey, you know, Reggie Miller said the Heat losing Tyler Hero is a bigger loss than the Bucks losing Giannis, which we told you at the time is absolutely ridiculous. Giannis is far and away the better player, and I understand you're not trying to say Tyler Hero, hey, Tyler Hero is just as good a player as Giannis. The fact is this, if you told the Miami Heat, you can take away Tyler Hero, or we'll take away Tyler Hero and give you a 1-0 series edge, or we can take away Giannis and it's even, they would still say take away Tyler Hero and give us that one win. But now all of a sudden, Duncan Robinson, you hope we don't see shades of the bubble because it certainly looked like it today for the birthday boy. 24 minutes, 7-9 shooting, 20 points. Now, with no Tyler Hero, I think with no Victor Oladipo, the Heat backcourt becomes Max Strus, Gabe Vincent, Kyle Lowry, and Duncan Robinson. You have to take advantage of that alone if you're the Bucks for the remainder of this series. 855-616-1620, the old National Bank talk and text line. A couple of more calls to get to your level of concern on a scale of 1 to 10 as the Bucks fall behind 2-1 in this best of 7 series. Your level of concern is what? We'll hear from more of you after this on Bucks Talk. .121-99 final in Miami. Heat dominate the Bucks and take a 2-1 series advantage. On a scale of 1 to 10, your level of concern in this series is what? 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head back to the phone lines and talk with Bob, who I'm guessing looks like your level of concern is extremely high.
I don't think they have much of a shot at it. But I just want to thank you for your summation, you know, of not just game, but of the whole series. You hit everything right on the head. You know, when they brought in Jay Crowder, I didn't think he'd do much of a job. He hadn't played much in the NBA all year, had he? I don't believe he had too many games in. So that was a shot in the dark. And any of the other two guys, it's just a shot in the dark. I don't think the management has done a real good job of picking up, you know, they picked up quite a few guys off the garbage heap, but that's about how they've played, and that's a shame. And you know, this guy that's coaching at Miami, you know, I followed him pretty carefully because I used to be a pretty big Michigan basketball fan watching Duncan Robinson, and you knew when he was in the games, the only reason he was in there was, you know, was to shoot three-pointers. He hasn't played much all year. I think you probably know that and so forth. But it's too bad. But I think you're right with those draft picks all being shot in the dark, and it's going to be interesting what happens in the next couple of years. Don't you agree?
And thanks for the call, Bob. Now is not the time to get into what's next, but if the playoffs for the Bucks end in this series, to say that's a disappointment will be a massive understatement, and this makes it a very, very big offseason for this team. And to be clear, this is a big offseason regardless of what happens. Brook Lopez is going to be out there. Chris Middleton can opt out and become a free agent. So you're going to have decisions to make. We just talked about the CBA change and what that means for teams that are spending high money into the luxury tax, and the Bucks are one of those teams. Everything put in place for the new CBA is making it difficult for those teams. So this is going to be a big offseason for the Bucks regardless. But if the ultimate disaster happens and you lose to an 8 seed in the first round, it's hard not to see it becoming an even bigger offseason and changes you may not have seen taking place. 855-616-1620, the old National Bank talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. As again, Miami has thoroughly outplayed the Bucks throughout this series. Even in game two, you hit 25 threes. And I was very optimistic after that. We talked about this on the game two edition of Bucks Talk, saying, look, Eric Spoelstra told us before the game everything he was concerned about and everything he was looking for. Hey, we know Milwaukee's going to do these things. We know when Giannis doesn't play, they take a lot of threes. They want to play faster. They want to move the ball. We got to be aware of that. They're going to use their size. They're going to get it to Brook Lopez. We got to look at that. Literally every single thing Eric Spoelstra outlined before the game, the Bucks hit on and the Bucks took advantage of. That was my reason for optimism. Hey, it's not so much the 25 threes, because you know that's not going to happen again. You're not going to tie the NBA record two times in a series. But the Heat knew what to look out for, and they still couldn't stop it. You should feel pretty good about that. I don't know how to accurately sum up what we saw tonight. There was no energy. You knew what you were going to be in store for. You knew Miami stole home court advantage. They're coming home. That crowd is going to be into it. Even if you want to take your snipes at a Miami crowd, you knew the crowd was going to be ready for it. You knew the Heat were going to be ready and looking to take this game and take the two games to one edge. You didn't match their intensity. That, to me, is the most disappointing part. And as the game progressed, the intensity did not progress for the Bucks. 855-616-1620, the old National Bank talk and text line. Let's squeeze in one more call before break here. John and Wauwatosa, on a scale of 1 to 10, your level of concern in this series is what?
My level of concern, I'd say, is a solid 3. That is right now, after game 3, because, frankly, I think you hit it on the head. Energy and intensity was lacking, but that does not mean the Milwaukee Bucks in this 2023 campaign are not a better team than the Miami Heat, and we still have 4 opportunities, if they're all needed, to prove that. Frankly, I think if we pick up the energy a little bit and we somehow lose the next game, my concern level will be 10 out of 10. But right now, everybody, it was a bad night. Relax. We still have a championship-caliber basketball team who had a bad game, and let's hope they make some adjustments for the next one. I hope we don't get guys like Bobby in early foul trouble. And let's hope for the good Lord that Giannis is back. And let's go win this, all right? This is just silliness. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, thanks for the call, John. I think the optimism we were looking for the last 60-plus minutes here. I still think the Bucks will win this series. And maybe a lot of you felt the same way coming into this game. Yeah, yeah. You know, it was disappointing to see what happened in game one, but I still feel pretty good. We probably lost some of you on the Oregon Trail after tonight's performance. And I'm sure there was a lot of you saying, I'm not worried. The Bucks will probably win the next 4. After tonight, I'm very curious how many of you think the Bucks will win 3 in a row and make this a 6-game series. But to John's point, you have the more talented team. You have largely a nucleus comprised of guys that won an NBA championship 2 years ago. And as I just mentioned, Miami's now dealing with injuries, too. It's not just Tyler Hero. I know Victor Oladipo is not a primary guy, but depth starts to be a concern. And if you're going to lean on a guy, you know, looking up and down their roster, like Duncan Robinson, and say, hey, we need this from you on a consistent basis. We haven't seen that all season from Duncan Robinson. If you're going to say Gabe Vincent, who played 18 minutes tonight and is outside of that one weekend in the regular season when he torched the Bucks in 2 games, Gabe Vincent hasn't been that guy either. Now these are the guys you're going to start to lean on. Kyle Lowry, Kevin Love, huge in game 1, not so much in the next 2 games. So that's what you would look for and say, hey, these things are going to regress. The troubling thing is Miami, as we mentioned at the top of the show, 50% or better that they've shot in every game this series, 44% or better from 3. It's not just one guy getting hot. It's collectively the team shooting at a high rate. Nothing's going to change unless the defense change. And that's the big takeaway 3 games in. We'll wrap up the show, get you set for Monday night in a, I will stop short of calling it a must-win game, but it is as close to must-win as you get, which is something none of us thought we'd be saying in the 1-versus-8 matchup, speaking on behalf of the one seed. We'll wrap up the show next on Bucks Talk. Final few minutes here of the program as we recap the 121-99 Heat victory over the Bucks, a dominant performance from Jimmy Butler, and the rest of the Miami Heat taking this one and taking a 2-1 edge in this best-of-7 series. All eyes will be on the injury reports tomorrow when the Bucks will have their first submission to see what the status is of Giannis. I would assume we will not learn a whole lot until Monday, day of game, but we'll get our first glimpse tomorrow. And same for Miami with any updates on Jimmy Butler and certainly on Victor Oladipo, though Oladipo seemed much more significant than Jimmy Butler. Again, Ira Winderman of the Sun-Times saying it was a glute injury and not a back injury for Jimmy Butler in this game. Monday night, though, we stop short of saying it's a must-win game, but it's as close to must-win as you can get. Look, we can talk about the potential for Giannis to return, the injuries that the Heat have suffered. You still don't want to be in a spot where you got to win 3 straight games to keep your season alive as a 1 seed versus an 8 seed. Monday night, though, is game number 4, and it is a big one. Game 4 in Miami, the Bucks and the Heat. It is a 6:30 tip-off from South Beach. 6 o'clock is when our pregame coverage will begin with Dave Kane and myself. And as always, we will have the postgame show, expected to be another lengthy one, immediately after that game, hopefully recapping a win and an even series of 2 games apiece. My thanks to everybody for tuning in and interacting with us on the program, and Justin Ponitzer for producing the show. Talk to you Monday night with more Bucks Talk.